it's all about COVID in the community at the moment.
Well, it's
certainly dominating our attention at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Like I mentioned before, we're all in isolation in my household. My partner tested positive for COVID just the other day. I'm symptom-free and negative at the moment, so I'm going to take another test today. And my daughter's negative, and so is my son. So, you know, it's hitting lots of households. I know that I've been down on the ground before, having to come into isolation with our lovely crew down at the rugby ground car park, just supporting the DHB and the Māori wardens down there. With the RATS testing, giving those out. So I've been seeing a consistent number of community coming down of all age groups who have symptoms and people who, require their RATS so they can take their tests at home. So there's quite a lot. It's a broad spectrum, and you might have seen a release from Raglan Area School yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
The school is in now a partial closure for the junior school. And because obviously the numbers for our teaching staff who have tested positive have increased, and so too amongst our students. So as responsible educators, you know, trying to as much as we can to sort of flatten that curve of community spread within our school community. So, Aaron, it's here. And for my partner, the symptoms, have been he's lost his smell and sense of taste yesterday for a couple of hours, headaches, fatigue, aches and pains. So I think it hits people differently. So, yeah.
And did I see for the school that the years are something up to year 8 are going to be doing at home from next week?
1 to 6, I think it's 1 to 6. I'll need to go back.
Okay, we'll check that
and
one,
then,
folks.
And then there's some classes that are in bubbles that will be at school. So trying to keep the business of the school open as much as we can. But, of course, over the last 2 years, we've put in place, you know, the online learning where, like you and I right now, on Zoom, and being able to still continue with education within our community online and in some capacity at school as well.
Okay. So back to the COVID, the community response. I know yesterday on the air we were telling people, here's the wonderful new system that the government has given us to order your RATS test and you pop down and pick it up. But it wasn't quite working out like that.
And that's the challenges, I guess. You know, we're being proactive. On Wednesday evening, I put up a post on the notice board because I actually went online and ordered my RATS test, the rapid antigen test, online. And this, it was really easy, you know, and I also trialled the 0800 number to order as well. And, you know, it's a call centre. So we thought we'd be really proactive. I gave Mike Edmonds my iPad so they could use it down on site for people who are lining up in their cars, and that we could go onto the system and order on their behalf and have that information ready for the guys. But they weren't quite prepared. They were unfamiliar with that system. So they went back to just seeing each individual car and the people in it and inputting there. So there's a real crossover. But interestingly, as I was coming onto the interview, Liz from the Waikato DHB had called me, and we're going to have another discussion about a community rapid antigen test community site. So hopefully I'll get that sorted this morning, where we actually have the capacity to be able to distribute through our community COVID response team.
So that's now, because at the moment, Lisa, it's the DHB staff distributing it, and they can only be out here two hours a day.
That's right. But not only them, but also Raglan Medical and the pharmacy. But they've got limited capacity to do that work, obviously, because for Raglan Medical, they need to continue the services that they have outside of COVID as well, and be able to do that safely. So they can't just have people rocking up to get their rapid tests. Mm. And so too with the pharmacy, they've got limited resources and they're still continuing to do their daily business for the community. So having a distribution point here in Raglan for our community that we can organise and people can call or email will be really fantastic. So I'll call Liz back after this interview to sort out what that might look like for us. And of course, we launched and went live with our 0800 Raglan free phone number yesterday, and also our Raglan community response Gmail address, which I know that you've put online for us, Aaron, so thank you very much for that. And we've got that manned 7 days a week from 10 till 2, and people can still email as well outside of hours for response. And we've got a fantastic coordinator, Fiona, who's come on board, and she'll be the primary contact for that portal. And also we've got the Whangaro Marae Collective, which launched our Facebook page and 0800 number yesterday. So really a lot of collaboration happening across different organisations in the wider Whangaro area, which includes all of our marae. And it goes out as far as the Divi to include Otonga Valley Road, Cogswell Road, Waitatuna, Aramiro, out to Makomako, Ruapuke, Aotea, some of Aotea, Phillips Road, and around the mountain right out to Waingaro and to the urban area. So really great collaboration there, working with the food bank, with the marae, all of that. So it's fantastic. And Mike Edmonds, who used to work for council, he's one of the primary contacts on there. So some fantastic stuff happening in the background, Aaron. And it won't only be here for in COVID times. You know, we're anticipating continuing our wellness hub into the future, and our response, you know, for civil defence and things like that. So although it's challenging times, it's fantastic times as well.
And you mentioned the marae there, and one of the marae is having a combined vaccination and testing service. Is it this weekend?
That's right. So at Poihakina tomorrow from 10 till 4, Ngā Miro Health will be at the marae running vaccinations. So if you haven't got your booster shot, you can get your booster shot. You can also be vaccinated there. And they also will be doing testing. So I believe that would be the rapid test. That it will be drive-through. So it will be all day from 10 till 4, and it's open to everyone in the community. I believe the DHB will still have the drive-through from 9:30 to 11:30 at the rugby grounds tomorrow and on Sunday as well. So there'll be a number of options, but the Poihakina vaccination and testing station will only be for tomorrow from 10 till 4.
Okay, and the one at the rugby ground, that was initially said we've booked for 7 days. Have we decided or figured out what's happening after the 7th day?
No, and I think that's what Liz and I will have a discussion about a little bit later this morning, that perhaps our group, in conjunction with the Marae Collective, becomes distribution points. I had a kōrero with Mike Edmonds about when we do the, you know, kai parcels or deliveries like that, you know, whānau will be able to order their rapid tests, and we can include the rapid tests in their kai, with their kai packages, as well as other things that we send out. So we've been thinking quite broadly about how we can support the community with the rapid test as well as other services they may require.
Right.
And just to be clear, Aaron, our portal for the 0800 Raglan number for the wider community, that is, you know, accessing if people want information about how do I get my rapid test, you know, how do I get kai, or just an ear to talk to, but we're not a medical service. We encourage people to contact their GPs, or if they're feeling really unwell, is obviously the emergency services through 111. But we can also talk people through that as well.
Yeah, and I've just, our rural man at the radio station, Craig, has just reminded me there's also the Rural Support Trust.
The Rural
Trust
Support, yeah, there is a Royal Rural Support Trust, and I spoke with Wanda, who coordinates for the Waikato District, her team. I actually reached out to her on Monday because I received an email. She'd sent an email out to all of the local schools about what services they provide, so I had a good kōrero with her on Tuesday, actually. And in fact, she comes out to Raglan on Wednesdays because they actually have a rural surfing group for farmers that come out to Raglan to surf on a Wednesday evening.
Right.
If I wasn't in ISO, I would have gone out to help you with a sausage sizzle on Wednesday just gone. So I had a good cordial with her. So I've hooked them into our group. And she's really keen. She said it was fantastic to know that there's another group that they can actually coordinate with, because their local coordinator is actually in the north of the district. So having access to other services where we can collaborate would be great, because also they're not only there for COVID times, but for the rural community for civil defence matters. And to be clear, their services aren't just for your farmers in terms of whether you're a beef farmer, a sheep farmer, or a dairy farmer. They also work with beekeepers, alpaca farmers. They work with the forestry people in that. And in fact, she was saying that with the forestry guys, they've got together and their guys have said, look, we've got lots of guys who can actually come out and help milking and stuff like that in areas if, you know, farmers are down for staff. We can use our pool of agricultural, the forestry workers, to send out to support our farmers. So it's quite broadly based. So if you're listening, it's not just for your traditional farming community. It's also, you know, your beekeepers, your alpacas, all of that sort of farming as well, and your forestry.
So I'm really curious, Lisa, just talking to you, like we've this community support group for COVID has just grown kind of organically from people like you and other people operating in the community, seeing that something needed to happen. Are there small towns, has this happened in other small towns? I'm so focused on Raglan, I have no idea.
Absolutely. You know, I think in the capacities of small communities, people, I think as New Zealanders, we're really good at that collaboration, that coming together at times of need. And some people probably wouldn't even call it a response to COVID or whatever. It's just what you do in a community. Perhaps we're a better place because we're just one organisation as such. You know, like we're not just the Raglan Community House. We are working with the medical professionals, like at Raglan Medical. We're working with Raglan Community House. We're working with the fantastic Marianne at the food bank. And now with the capacity with the five marae within Aorohe, having those skills and connecting with our whānau who, you know, really know our whānau out in the rural areas, you know, and we're working with the schools. So we've got connections and we've got our wellness warriors like the Margaret Dillons and the Amy Hannahs and the Rose Wallaces, and that, you know, that, you know, that we can actually reach out to people who've got extensive networks outside of the norm. So I think organically, many communities do that, but I think that we're probably on the front foot because we've just worked on this for 2 years now, and I feel really privileged to be part of that wider group with the skills that have been brought out over the last 2 years, and particularly lately, the capacity. I've been working with Michelle Levy, who's a Māori health expert, and, you know, I hadn't met her until about 3 months ago, and just the phenomenal skills that she's brought to this team just around the strategic planning. So Raglan Whangaroa, we're very blessed with the skills and the knowledge that we have within Aorohe.
Well, look, let's move on to just normal council stuff, which maybe we've forgotten about a little bit in the last couple of weeks. The parklet consultation, is that open at the moment? I forget.
It is open at the moment, and you can pick up forms from the library and the community house, and you can go online as well. And obviously, so that's there. We've also got the, as we talked about before, the food waste curbside collection, and of course the announcement by Mayor Allen that he won't be standing again in October. And this morning, Councillor Axel Beck has declared his interest. He's going to stand for the mayoralty.
I've got to say, we're supposed to be unbiased in the media, and I have to admit I don't try hard at that, but I actually really like him. I think he's an incredibly competent guy, and he's so good at reaching across the aisle to different groups as well.
Noticed. He is. So he's actually confirmed his mayoralty run this morning, and that Noel Smith, our my fellow councillor for Te Kōwhai, Whatawhata has declared his intent on standing for regional council. He won't stand again for Waikato District Council. So, you know, some changes afoot.
Now, Lisa, I did see someone online on Facebook asking you if you were going to run for mayor.
No. No.
I knew you'd say that, but...
No, I wouldn't do that. That's really nice that that person did that, but, I have no intention of doing that. You know, Aaron, I've declared my interest in standing again for the Whaingaroa Raglan Ward, which, you know, at the moment that's my intent to do that. And I think one more term in council, because with a new mayor and changes afoot, I think having, that continuation for another term, I think will be important for a community moving forward, because there will be a lot of changes. And looking at, the future of local government, there looks like there's going to be changes there as well. Some continuity, I think, would be really positive for our community. Mm.
Hey, so we mentioned the parklet consultation is open. It's something that happened at the same time as that was there was the painted roundabout happened and the change in the parking outside where Isobar is and some different lines. So there was there consultation on that? Did that happen? Is that staying permanently now? What's the story?
Well, the angle parking really wasn't necessarily part of the Places for People project. That was something that was done in conjunction with the Places for People, both the angle parking and the roundabout. So they will stay regardless. And we haven't had there were grumbles about the roundabout, but overall that's working really well. And so, you know, that's been successful.
Will we get a permanent built one there?
Not at this stage, Aaron. Possibly in the future. I haven't seen plans for that.
Okay.
Obviously, that would have to go into our roading budget. But at the moment, with the signage and the painted roundabout, that seems to be working well.
Yeah, okay. Now, there's been several bylaws that you've been reviewing in council lately. One was the speed bylaw. It was speed for a few little bits of Raglan. So is that concluded?
The hearings were on Wednesday, actually, and I didn't attend them because I was actually down at the rugby grounds just helping with the with what was going down there. All of the changes for Raglan, which weren't that many, actually, that we had consultation for Raglan. So I believe the decision around lowering the speed limit to 20 on part of Rerekiriopa Memorial Drive got the thumbs up. Also, the lowering of the speed limit close to where Simon Te Whiro's gallery is on this side, on the Raglan side of what was State Highway 23, was given the thumbs up for the speed to drop there to 60.
Yep.
And then that was pretty much everything for Raglan and the permanent, in the urban areas, the permanent lowering of speed to 40 around the school zone areas for the urban areas.
Yep. And Tamata as well?
I would have to check that, actually.
That was on the cards, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So I will need to confirm with the rural areas, because I wasn't in the hearings, Aaron. But, of course, that will come for ratification to our full council, our next full council, hui.
So when would the signs be likely to go up for that? I know it's not going to happen next week, but...
Once it has to go to council, I'll have to get a time frame for that for you, Aaron.
But once the council says go, then the staff know it's on their work list, basically.
Yeah, and for the speed limits, for most places, it's just actually changing the signs that are already existing and are in place.
Yeah, yeah.
So many people were thinking it would be a really costly exercise for a number of these things. It isn't necessarily, because a lot of the signs are already up with the current speed limits, so it would be a matter of just changing those.
But the one for State Highway 23 where the urban zone is extended, that'll be a big sign there.
That will need to change, so I'll need to get a plan of that share that information for you when that's happening and what that will look like.
Okay, and the dogs bylaw, has there been any change to the rules about you can bring dogs into town in Raglan?
Well, you can bring dogs into town in Raglan anyway, so that's that wasn't part of the deliberations. No, because we can already do that, so that wasn't part of the consultation.
Oh, I thought, I thought someone might object to it and might say, no, we want to go back to the old way, but...
No, I can't remember seeing anyone saying that.
All right.
Yeah. And so we deliberate next week on that. So we have our deliberations. So we've had the hearings and then we've got the deliberations next week where we make the decisions. So the hearings are where those who have submitted and who wish to speak to their submissions come in and they actually speak to what they've written. And of course, you know, last week we had 3 full days of impassioned people coming in to speak to their submissions, which was fantastic. So everyone, bar maybe two, actually turned up to the hearings online, which was fantastic. So we had a lot to go through, as well as the 670, I think it was, written submissions, and then all of those submitters who wanted to speak. So it was a big hearings. So we go back and we deliberate over what we've read and what we've heard.
I think some listeners might be thinking, the dog control bylaw, who they're not interested in it. How come so many other people were?
Because we've got impassioned dog lovers,
right,
and also people who aren't that impassioned by dogs as well. But overwhelmingly, it was people who have a love of dogs.
Yeah, yeah. There was another bylaw happening. Last time I talked to you, there were like 3 bylaws all happening all at once. Do we remember what the 3rd one was? I don't.
The Easter trading.
Oh, so that, right. So how did that pan out?
The Easter trading, there was a media release yesterday that the status quo will continue, which is basically across the district, businesses can open if they wish to on Easter Sunday.
Okay, all right. Now, we're always talking about affordable housing these days, and I know you weren't at it, but I stumbled across online an affordable housing workshop that the council was having, and I have to admit I had thought council wasn't taking this issue seriously, but the mayor and everyone were certainly making the right noises about affordable housing, and maybe even council does have to get involved in this issue. I know you weren't able to be at that workshop because you had other things on, but what are you hearing sort of around the traps at the moment?
You know, it's interesting, Aaron, because, you know, for council, it's looking at how we can enable, you know, smaller houses, you know, in maybe more condensed living. So since that workshop, we actually haven't had a further discussion on that. So I think it's something that all councils and central government looking at how can we enable that idea of affordability, and if we had an answer to that, we wouldn't be having this discussion. I don't really know what that looks like, you know, moving forward. But, you know, I know that RAP is still working in the background about what some of the options are for our community around affordable housing, but I can't answer you any more than that, to tell you the truth, Aaron.
Okay, all right. The fence at the airfield has been rebuilt, has it?
Yep. So the airfield actually has reopened. And so I think I saw someone fly in yesterday. So it reopened, I believe, as of Wednesday. And there haven't been any problems with that, as far as I've heard. And so, yeah, it's operations as normal on the airfield, and obviously moving forward, working with the Hapu and Whānau groups around, you know, the land ownership. And just to let you know, that council staff are working with the Hapu representatives from the camp about opening up some of the area nearer the campground entrance to provide extra access and parking for that end of the airfield, which had been a recommendation, actually a desire from the Raglan Holiday Park Papahua Governance Board and from staff there and management to increase the parking there, for particularly for safety for staff over the summer months when there's not much parking down in that area. And the community board had actually recommended that with the changes and the fence and installation at the airfield, could the parking be increased in that end? So we're just looking at that, and we'll probably increase the parking area at that end of the airfield. So watch this space.
Okay. Let me see. Was there anything else? Oh, work. Anything happening down at the wharf that we need to know about, or is it no new news since I talked to you a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, no, there is. So that's out for, community feedback for the wharf. So the study, we've done the Whangaroa infrastructure study, and that will be going out again for feedback from the community. But it'd be really good to speak with Dennis Amor from the community board, because he's our project leader on that, actually. Aaron, would be good to speak to him.
So I know we just did have a big consultation about what's happening around beside the silos, basically, we'll say there. But that's done, and the decision's been made, and it's going out to for people to do work now.
Yeah, and like I said, just talk to Dennis. He's he's the man with his finger on the pulse on there.
Okay, and I was just looking at the list from the last community board meeting, the Papahua footpath. You know, I was down at Papahua one evening, and I was there at 8:20, 8:30, and the guys building the footpath were still there, Lisa.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of getting it done, you know, because we're way behind schedule.
Yeah.
So we really want to get that completed because it has dragged on. Mm. And I know that's been very frustrating for myself and for the community board. So they need to get that job finished. But once it's done, it'll be fantastic.
And it may be done now. I haven't been down there for a couple of weeks.
Well, I haven't been down there because I'm in ISO, so at this point of time.
Anyone out there who's been to Papahua, let us know.
Yeah, let us know if it's been finished. So that's awesome. And, of course, with the confirmation and rejigging of our footpaths, hopefully this financial year we'll get the completion of the footpath from Let's Grow through to Puihakina completed, so the upgrade of that. So that will become a completion. And I understand that with the Papakainga development on Wainui Road from the Marae back to town, that they will, as part of that subdivision, that they will be, part of that work will be to widen the footpath.
Oh, yeah, the one that's already
along there.
Along
there. Yeah, so that'll be great. So it'll be another full connector from town right through to the Wainui Bush Park.
Right, okay. And the next community board meeting, do we have a date for that? You got to look that up.
We do, but I don't. I'll have to bring it up for you, Aaron.
It's not next week, is it?
No, it's not. Let me see.
When was the last meeting? Early February.
February.
Yeah,
so the Raglan Community Board meeting is on Wednesday, the 23rd of March.
Okay, so it's a fair way off, and that will be on Zoom. And
I told a fib. Our deliberations for the dog control bylaw isn't until it's from the 22nd of March through to the 24th.
Okay, so that's still
deliberating.
Okay, right. The community board meeting, the Zoom connection will be made more readily available for the public, won't it, for this next meeting?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that will be sent out closer to the time.
Okay, all right. No one's even invented the number yet, I'm sure. So, all right. So, folks, we've been talking to our councillor, Lisa Thompson. She's been with us for about an hour now. So,
oh, crikey.
Thank you for your time. Oh, you can't leave your house,
Aaron.
So I don't feel like I probably haven't kept you from
tonight. I'm a captured audience.
It's always easy to get hold of you when we're in lockdown or you're in your own personal lockdown. Is there anything else? I guess you've just been focused on the COVID response at the moment, but is there anything else that I haven't picked up on that's happening in the community that people might want to know about?
No, I think you've pretty much captured everything, Aaron, and just really want to encourage people to access the 0800 Raglan number if you are requiring assistance. And just a big thank you to our entire community for being so caring. I've been watching lots of friends, you know, supporting each other. Don't be shy. Don't be apprehensive in, asking for support and help, because there's a lot of people out there prepared to roll up their sleeves and give you a hand, whatever that might look like. So just take care, and thanks heaps, Aaron, and just a big thank you to you, Aaron, and your team for putting out such great comms to the community that's consistent and up to date around COVID and what's happening. Yeah. So big mihi to you guys.
All right, thanks for that, Lisa, and thank you for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you and a couple of weeks on the air. Hopefully maybe we'll be down in the trees by the town hall. Who knows where we'll try and have an interview.
Okay, thanks, okay. Aaron. See ya.